where do the images that we see come from, and what are the symbols?
Well, to begin with, I find it helpful to go back to the beginning. Take the date 1776. This is July 4th, and people got together and decided, let's be our own country. Let's break the ties that have been restricting us, that have been helping us too, but they've been restricting us. Let's start. So they conceived the United States of America. But 6 years later, something actually took a shape, a form, a tangible symbol, which people of that time and people of future times could then see, what is America? So in one sense, the Great Seal, let's consider what it is. It's the birth certificate of America. It's the face of America. This is what was used when the president signed a document. It was sealed with the Great Seal. And originally, the type of seals used were called pendant seals, which hung from a ribbon, had two sides. So therefore, there are two sides of the Great Seal. Lately, though, there's just used the seal that you impress on a document, so we've only used the eagle side. And this all came before government and before the Constitution. So going back to the very first principles, this might clarify what I call them, the original American dreamers, because everyone speaks of the American dream, but today it's everyone's individual nightmare. What is it? And I've always asked the question, okay, whose dream was it anyway? And how did they express that dream? And I find that the symbols of the seal best express what I've felt to be the American dream, because symbols are the language of dreams. And they spent perhaps 6 years and three committees, about a dozen men, coming up with these symbols. There was careful attention put into them. And I think the whole purpose of why we're here today is to encourage people to take a look at these symbols, because maybe just with a little more attention, we can read the message and the intent that they put into them.
Which is?
Well, let's take a look at the first. On the left side of the dollar, you see the Great Seal, which is the words underneath it. This is actually the reverse side of the Great Seal. You have a Latin motto underneath the pyramid, which reads Novus Ordo Seclorum, and that is usually translated as New Order of the Ages. You have I guess you could call it a pyramid. I think it could be called something else too, but it's a pyramid with a gap and then an eye and a triangle with, it's a radiant eye and a triangle. There's a aura around it. And then the words above the eye are Anuit Coeptus, which translates as, He has blessed our efforts. He referring to the Creator. And then the obverse, or the front of the Great Seal, you see on the right of the dollar, there you have the American Eagle, which is called the Bald Eagle, first of all, which is only found in North America. And it's holding in its left hands the arrows, and the right hands the olives. And in heraldry, the right hand is the significant, the stronger hand. So this, the olive side is emphasized over the arrow side. And traditionally, olives mean peace, but I tried to go back to the source of that symbol, and I think it was on Noah's Ark when the dove went out to search for land. It finally one day came back with an olive. I think the feeling portrayed by that means a lot more than peace. It means just a lot. If you've been out in the ocean for 40 days and 40 nights with an ark full of every kind of animal, that would probably be a welcome sight. And then the shield on the eagle's breast is the blue banner on top with the red and white stripes in the bottom. And normally in heraldry, the shield is supported on either side by figures. For example, the English shield has a unicorn and a lion. But the American shield, they specifically said no supporters on either side because the Americans ought to rely on their own virtue. Okay, then the eagle's holding in its mouth a banner that says E Pluribus Unum, which translates out of many one. And as you mentioned earlier, that is an action from the many to the one. Then above the eagle's head is a crest, which in proper colors, the center is blue with white stars, there's 13 stars, then there is gold around that, and clouds, and it's described as a glory, is the heraldic term for it, with breaking through the clouds, there's a golden rays. So again, there's a symbol that most people I asked about, they feel that it's a symbol. Well, for example, what would you say that means to you, that glory above the eagle's head? How would you translate that into words?
Interesting. Well, I noticed there are 13 stars.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to be the center point or focus point of that aspect. I would assume these are the 13 original colonies, as 13 stars appear there, and that in some way it represents the same kind of sense of unity that's involved in placing the stars together in the field of the flag. I guess their glory is their independence as well as their unity.
It was described as a new constellation taking its place among the family of nations. It's one term.
Mm-hmm.
13 is an interesting aspect of the seal. You'll notice if you count the number of stripes on the shield, you'll find there's 13. The number of arrows, the number of olives and olive leaves. We've already talked about the number of stars. The number of letters in the motto, E Pluribus Unum, also is 13. And looking at the reverse side of the seal, the number of letters in Anor Coeptus is 13. The number of layers in the pyramid is 13. And that intrigued me. Why 13?
Well, we do have 13 colonies to deal with, right?
True. Seems like 13 is a number that it signifies, oh, like rebirth or transformation or change. The other term, I've got your number. Well, apparently numbers for a long time have been given certain qualities, and 13 has been that number. Well, if you know the concept of the phoenix, that from its own ashes it rises again. And America was really the hope for the people that had fled the old world and wanted to establish a way of living based on happiness. If I might, I'd like to read one quote from Tom Paine, said in 1776, and it goes, "To see it in our power to make a world happy, to teach mankind the art of being so, to exhibit on the theater of the universe a character hitherto unknown." Now that's what he hoped to do with the United States in one of his happier moments.
Our guests are Sherry Funt and John MacArthur. They're talking to us about the Great Seal of the United States of America, which celebrates its 200th anniversary this year. And in case you've just joined us, we've taken the dollar bill from the pocket. If you have a dollar bill in your pocket, you can pull it out, take a look at the Great Seal, which is on the back side of the dollar. John, tell us if you can, what's the connection that exists, as I have been told or informed in the past, between the affiliation of our founding fathers with the Masonic order and the appearance of the pyramid, the mystical eye, and other aspects of the symbolism of the Great Seal which relate to the Masons?
Well, I know that during that time period, the founding fathers, they needed to basically trust each other, rely on each other, and be able to speak of matters that wouldn't go beyond their immediate circle. And among the groups that met regularly were Masonic groups. And as far as I understand, a Mason is one who builds. And the pyramid that's in Egypt is probably a building that we couldn't duplicate today. So who built that and how is a mystery in one sense. And a lot of people relate it to Masons. I don't know. However, it makes sense that it, as a symbol for a construction that's very important, a construction that takes generations, a construction that takes the cooperation from those that began it with those that would complete it. I think by choosing the pyramid, the founders of America were saying that they counted on us 200 years later to understand that we had a part in the building that they laid the foundation for. In fact, one simple line by George Washington where he said, quote, "With our fate will the destiny of unborn millions be involved." Now they had a very far-reaching perspective. They knew that what they were beginning, they couldn't complete. But they wanted to leave a very clear blueprint for those that would follow. And that's why I think their choice of the pyramid is very helpful. Because if you notice, at the base of the pyramid, the first layer, there's some Roman numerals.
Mm-hmm.
And
1776,
correct. Now, I don't know if you would find this logical, but I did. I found 13 appeared everywhere in the Great Seal so many times, and there's 13 layers of pyramid, masonry, and 1776 is the bottom layer. So I just considered each layer as 13 years. In fact, I wasn't the first to consider this, but if you carry it out, it's very interesting how each layer of the pyramid within it, there's very historical events fall very neatly. For example, the first layer is 1776 until 1789, and that's the year 1789 when George Washington took office and the Constitution was accepted. So, like, the foundation was very clearly laid then. But the most interesting part is if you just carry it out to the very top of the unfinished pyramid, the year you reach is a very unique year in art history. Probably take everyone too long to figure it out. So it's 1945 is the year where you reach the end of the, what I call it is the stage, actually, a pyramid-shaped stage. And in one sense, you could say that the stage was really completed in 1945 because the whole world during that year was looking at America. Now, who are these guys? Well, they defeated enemies over several oceans, several continents, never before done. Saved millions of people from a fascist dictators, and topped it off with a nuclear explosion. Now that caught the attention of humanity, really, and America was out of its isolation stage. It had built a stage on which something had to happen. And then you have the gap. We're in the gap now. And that's why maybe we sort of lost touch with our base, and we're not quite sure of the future. We're kind of right in between. And maybe that's why the 60s the 70s have been pretty tumultuous. So,
if you don't mind my saying, it seems rather over specific interpretation, but it has a certain kind of poetic beauty about it that it's hard to put down. There's a lot of symbolism that's wrapped up inside the pyramid, and much of which may not have anything at all to do with the United States government, but the pyramid seems to be coming back into its own in this era, does it not?
Well, it's always been fascinating, especially in Southern California. You see a lot of the architecture also around the Egyptian theater in the 20s. It was very fascinating. When King Tut exhibit came to the United States, I think it drew some of the largest crowds that they've ever seen it at some of the museums.
Mm-hmm.
So America has always been fascinated by Egypt. In fact, the first committee to design the Great Seal was composed of Ben Franklin, John Adams, and Thomas Jefferson. And the design that both Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin came up with was a scene from biblical times with Pharaoh pursuing Moses. And Moses was on the hill, Pharaoh was still between the waves and was being engulfed. And the motto that Ben Franklin chose was, rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. So from that whole point, the Egyptian influence is very powerful. And in fact, some of the currency in continental United States, they had the pyramid on it. The eye was a popular symbol, the harp, with 13 strings all playing in harmony together, a candelabra with 13 candles on it, all shining with one light. They were very symbolic, the rattlesnake, the Liberty Tree. In fact, symbolism was really very rich at that time. And when they consciously, well, in fact, the symbol of America before America chose its own symbol was the Lady Liberty. And originally, mapmakers depicted America as an Indian savage riding an armadillo or some outrageous creature. And gradually she became a little more feminine, a little more beautiful. And you see probably the culmination on the $20 gold piece in 1903 of St. Gaudens, Liberty just striding through with a torch, and the other side was the eagle. But when the eagle was adopted as the Great Seal, the eagle and pyramid in 1782, immediately the eagle caught the excitement of the new nation. Here was a symbol that could be depicted by artists in many moods, strength, beauty, fierce. And you found it on carvings on ships, on embroidery, flags. And the other side just sort of set because no one could relate to the pyramid and eye. It was considered a dull Masonic emblem. And as Sherry said, they turned it against the wall at the 100th anniversary of America, the Chicago Exposition. And it's just until this generation when, in fact, the eagle seems to be losing its popularity. I mean, physically, we've actually almost decimated them totally. It's funny, too, because with what happened with the Indian population, we seem to keep hurting our symbols. We're the Indians, and now the eagle. So the pyramid seems to be coming into its own, where once the eagle replaced liberty as a symbol, I see what's happening now is that the pyramid and eye is becoming a more appropriate symbol for America than the eagle. And perhaps 50 years from now, you would look back on America, and the symbol would be the pyramid and eye. Because the pyramid in Egypt is a technological masterpiece, and America really is too. What America's accomplished just in terms of using the technology is amazing. And also, we should look to our future as they look toward us. I think that's a very important lesson from the founders. They really considered our welfare by their actions. And I think if we could consider the welfare of those that follow us, like Sherry mentioned, maybe simply by not littering. I mean, that's a simple thing, but it all helps. And just to know that we have to leave a heritage as it wasn't left us. If I might read this one quote from John F. Kennedy about, quote, it goes, "American history is not something dead and over. It is always alive, always growing, always unfinished. And every American today has his own contribution to make to the great fabric of tradition and hope which binds all Americans, dead and living, and yet to be born in a common faith and a common destiny."
We're talking about the great seal of the United States of America with John MacArthur and Sherry Funt. I think that certainly the image of the pyramid as it's depicted in the Great Seal has a wonderful kind of beauty. That's something which...
It's funny too, because with what happened with the Indian population, we seem to keep hurting our symbols. We're the